Let's close that door, guys, and Senator, whenever you're ready.
Okay. I want to thank you for all coming. My wife, Sonia Roberts, and I are contemplating a run for governor, and we chose this place as a as an example of the work that we've done as a small business in developing a neighborhood in Des Moines, the East Village. It's been here, we've been here about seven and a half years. And the development that goes on in our big city neighborhoods are a lot like the development that could go on in our small towns. And that's one of the themes we'll be talking about. So today we're looking at the possibility of creating that opportunity for us. We feel that there are challenges that Iowa faces, and that those challenges really have to be addressed and not reduced to marketing or sound bites by our politicians and some of my colleagues. So we want to focus on what really makes Iowa great and what we can learn. We're going to start in this exploratory committee on a conversation with Iowans. We want to be able to go out and ask our neighbors, our friends, people we don't know, people we'll get to know, what they think will make Iowa great, what they want Iowa to be in the future. And we're going to have this conversation with them for the next 3 months. And if we could raise the money, if we can gather support, and if we feel we have a legitimate shot at making this a campaign where new ideas and proven experience can deliver a better product for Iowans, we'll go ahead with a full campaign in the fall. But there are really three challenges that Iowa faces while we're exploring this. First, we have to create an economy where more people benefit. Secondly, we have to empower our communities so that they can have a role and decide how we're going to grow. And third, government needs to be smarter. It's not a debate on whether or not we need bigger government or smaller government, but really it's a decision and a conversation about how we could be smarter at how we deliver government services. It's more than just a tax credit or a tax break for big corporations. You know, Sonia and I have adult children, and our children leave Iowa. Now they come back because they know that when they come back to Iowa, there's a place here for them to grow their family and have a successful career. But our dream is to create an economy, a 21st century job creation economy, where our children don't have to leave, where we will have the experience and we will have the opportunities where they can make their career here from the very beginning. We also know we could do better in getting our communities to be more active. Instead of trying to cut their services, we have to go out and engage our communities in how we can build their communities. When the flood of 2008 ravaged the eastern part of the state, government came in effectively and worked with those communities to help them decide how they wanted to rebuild their cities. I talked to Jeff Pomerantz, who is the new city manager of Cedar Rapids. He was the city manager of West Des Moines. He jumped at the chance to go to Cedar Rapids because he had an opportunity to create a new American city. And that's exactly what they're doing in Cedar Rapids. Des Moines is another example. But if you go outside the city limits of Des Moines and the city limits of Cedar Rapids, you'll find that vibrancy in many of our small towns. That's why part of our campaign is going to look at how we can partner with small towns, big city neighborhoods, corporations, nonprofit corporations, and create a real partnership and a dialogue between themselves where they will have more to say in how they want their communities to grow. And then we could also do better in creating a government that is not only sensitive, but is not driven into the ground by politicians who want to just, for ideological reasons, reduce the size of government. If we're going to reduce the size of government, let's do it in a thoughtful way. Let's do it where we're planning our future and not putting our cities in a defensive position. Actually, Iowans are all part of a city or a county, and we all have the same aspirations. And so we need to work together. It's not about a senator from Des Moines wanting to be governor and whether or not he can respond to small towns. It's about all of us working together. The state of Iowa has a population the size of St. Louis. So we're going to rise or fall together. And our experience in developing in Des Moines and in Cedar Rapids is that we develop when nobody else would. We talk to the neighborhoods, and we didn't start until we had neighborhood support, just like we need support in our small communities. So we're proud of what we've done as a business. We're proud about what we've done in our communities. And I think that as a politician, I have some accomplishments in the legislature. And just briefly, while we're looking at this vision about where we want to go, we have to realize that there's some possibilities that we will discuss later on about specifics of how we're going to look at higher education, how we're going to look at economic development. We want to really create a job situation where we're creating jobs and not expanding corporations. One of the big problems that we've seen this last year is that Governor Branstad used tax breaks of $110 million to attract 165 jobs. Now that expanded a corporation in one fertilizer plant in eastern Iowa, but that did very little to create jobs. And our focus is going to be about creating jobs in our big city neighborhoods, in our small towns, everywhere and anywhere. The entrepreneurship spirit drives our population. We're going to be innovative, and we're going to be aggressive. We don't have to travel around the world to get Iowans to realize that they have a special place here. And we're going to stay, and we're going to campaign, and we're going to be very active. So those are my formal remarks. My wife, Sonia, and I are available for any comments, and I'll be glad to answer them.
Jack, do you know how much money it's going to take to run a campaign like this? Do you have any idea what you would need to raise to run against Governor?
It's going to take between $6 and $8 million to raise a campaign that's going to go through the primary and a general election.
How much would you want to raise in the next 3 months to show that you have a viable chance of doing it?
Well, I think we want to raise, by the end of the year, $1 million. And politicians probably won't give you that kind of threshold, because if I don't raise $1 million, which I'll have to report in January, you'll question whether or not I can continue as a candidate. But I think those are thresholds and goals that we hold for ourselves, and we're going to try to make them.
But you hope to make a decision on whether you're informally run.
Yeah, but there are a lot of kind of aspects to go into this. Sonia and I talked for the past 6 months about our family. We have two adult children, so that's less of an issue. But we have a business. We have to transition that. And then we're going to see whether or not we could really attract people when we go out. I believe that no matter how much money you raise, you need a candidate that's going to believe in the principles of the Democratic Party, that believe that we're going to try to make this place better for all of us and not just a few, and that our policies really have to be more broad than they are now. So I'll look at whether or not I can track people, gain support, and whether or not our message is viable. Those are the three elements that we'll use to determine if we go further.
And when do you plan to make a decision?
By the end of the summer. I think that's a good threshold. We'll be using these next 3 months to have a conversation with Iowans, where we'll be able to go out and hear what they have to say and defend some of the issues that we want to bring forward.
But you don't have a fundraising goal for the summer?
It will be, if we feel we are picking up support throughout this 3 months and then gaining momentum into the fall, I think we'll reach our end of the year goal pretty easily.
How likely is it that you won't run? Candidates like Christy Vilsack, I'm not listening to her, but she was in.
Yeah, I think it's really fair to say that this is something that I want to do. It's something that Sonia's supporting me in doing. She knows that this is not how she wanted to spend her early retirement years. And so we've kind of come to a place with that. We think we have a message. We think we can attract supporters, and we think we could raise the money. I'm not doing this to to retreat back into a Senate seat. My Senate term is up this next year, and there are already people lining up to announce that they're going to run for my Senate seat. So this is most likely, I want to be able to hear from Iowans and be and get the verification that, you know, our campaign has some legs, that we have a good message, that they're proud of the things that we've done in the legislature, that I'm a Democrat that will be tough on the governor, but not disrespectful. And that's the other test that we have. This Iowans are tired of the partisanship, but partisanship shows that there are differences between us. So that's not what people really dislike. It's the meanness of politics. And we've all participated in that. And I've got to work really well and hard to get beyond that. That what we want to have is a conversation. We want to have fun. We want to be able to identify what strengths we have as a state. And I have a sense that we could create a new path for Iowans to look at and to walk on that's different than Governor Branstad's.
You were always considered to be among those hoping to run for Congress. Why run for governor rather than Congress?
Oh, well, here's the real reason. There are 50 governors and there are 435 congressmen, senators. I could do a lot more as a governor. Also, I have my degree in public administration. I've been a manager. And actually, and this is something that John doesn't want me to say, but I got a degree to be a bureaucrat because I wanted to be able to impact change. And I thought the best way to do that is being an administrator in the public sector. And I got my master's, and I worked in the public sector for 2.5-3 years, and then I started my own company. And so I knew that politics was a way of getting that done, of really having the ability to impact change. I've always been a person that has always challenged people and challenged myself, and there's no better way than be in the public sector and be on the campaign trail and to challenge my fellow Iowans and be challenged.
Others in your party have talked about Tom Vilsack, whether he's going to run, whether he's going to not run, whether that impacts them. Does his decision affect you at all?
Sure. I mean, Secretary Vilsack is the 800-pound gorilla in this race. He is an accomplished governor, an extraordinarily accomplished Secretary of Agriculture. If he wants to come back, I will defer to him and allow him to do it and get out of the race. I'm not interested in taking on quality candidates that I really think that have proven to be a successful governor. That goes with Governor Culver too. Now, do I expect both of them to run? No. I mean, I think I've talked to enough people, I've talked to them, and I don't think we can wait, but I think it's a possibility. Part of our responsibility as candidates is to tell our party and the media and the public, I think I'm up for this job, and every day is a new task, and every day is a challenge, and every day we're going to be tested on whether or not we can do that.
Senator, does it bother you that the Democratic Party chair is going on a listening tour, sort of like you are? He's announcing it this morning, and he's thinking about running for governor, but he hasn't said for sure whether he's going to or not. Does that bother you that he's taking that step?
He's going out as a party chair, and I think it's appropriate for Representative Olson, as the chair of the Democratic Party, to set the record straight on Governor Branstad and his accomplishments and the way he's conducted himself. I think that's what we expected. So, no, it doesn't bother me. I welcome that he's doing that.
What do you think Governor Branstad is doing wrong? You know, where is he failing Iowa?
Well, let's just take the one that's most obvious with me, which is health care. I don't think Governor Branstad understood the insecurity Iowans feel about the high cost of health care in this country and in this state. And whether or not he was putting his ideological position in front of the best policy of the state of Iowa, to be so resistant to a federal law that was challenged constitutionally and he lost in an election that he said he was going to repeal it and he lost, and then to wait so long to provide an alternative, all along saying he wasn't going to expand Medicaid, wasn't just about expanding health care to low-income Iowans. It was about his understanding, or lack of understanding, that health care and the cost of health care affects every Iowan, every business. It's the highest cost that Sonia and I have in our personnel, in our company. It's the most unpredictable cost we have. And businesses try to keep their costs contained. It goes up too high, and he didn't understand that it causes the insecurity of all families. And not to understand that, not to engage us, not to prepare Iowa for the health care debate that's going to continue for the next 3 or 4 years was the first mistake. Second, his economic development strategy. He is chasing the old strategy of giving tax breaks to large corporations. And what he's doing is doing nothing more than expanding the corporation. He is not creating jobs. You see that all too well with Orascom fertilizer plant, where he spent $110 million of Iowa taxpayers' money for 165 jobs. That comes out to a little more than $637,000 per job.
So what's the new strategy?
The new strategy will be a job creation strategy, where you work at creating a trained workforce that will be ready for the new jobs and the emerging jobs. And that's anywhere from building to technology to how you create and how you prepare new teachers. In building, for example, we're building apartments differently today than we did when we started. And you don't just put in a HVAC system as you did 10 years ago. Now you have geothermal units, you have solar panels. Those are the jobs of the future. And you also have a strategy where you're going to engage your communities. Because when Facebook came to Central Iowa, it wasn't just the state of Iowa that was negotiating with Facebook. It was Altoona, and it was Greater Des Moines. All of these cities and neighboring cities put together economic packages and other issues and other qualities that attracted Facebook. It wasn't just because of wind energy or water or the low cost of utility. It was because Central Iowa has a quality of life that is expanding faster than we thought. It had entertainment, it has festivals. It has a place where people can live and have fun and enjoy their life. That's the empowerment of communities. Governor Branstad is doing just the opposite. He's cutting the legs out from under our communities by reducing the assessment level that allows communities to raise revenue without an alternative on how you could create new revenue sources. So it's a single-minded economic development strategy. Third is something that's been a long-standing problem with Iowa, and that's our ability to maintain and to have quality drinking water. His attempt to have a management plan just to avoid the federal government coming in and trying to manage our water quality programs is a failed attempt of just trying to keep people away from doing something that could be brilliant for the state. We have a Superfund site here in Des Moines, the old Dyco plant that was contaminating drinking water 15 years ago. And we have those all over the state. And we seem to not take care of our resources very well. And that's the natural resources as well, how we have agricultural policy and practices and our water quality goals, how they are to merge. And I think the last thing that I think Governor Branstad has really failed at is allowing Iowans to really believe that they have something better to look forward to. We have an incredible opportunity in the state to rebuild our communities and attract businesses from all over the world. And he's not asking Iowans to participate. He's using the old economic models of tax breaks and tax credits and picking winners and losers, where we really should be engaging our communities, our corporations, our students to attract more people to come to the state.
On the healthcare compromise, do you feel like the state would have been better off just going with the expansion of Medicaid, or are you satisfied with?
This is an extraordinary opportunity for us. We have accepted the federal money. We've expanded Medicaid to 138% of poverty. All of those people will have, for the first time, access to affordable and legitimate health care. That was our goal. The fact that some of them, about a third of them, will buy it off of the exchange doesn't bother us at all. It's a very legitimate strategy that we feel very good about. The problem that we have is that the Iowa healthcare exchange is not Iowa directed. The governor failed at developing an Iowa exchange and he defaulted to a federal exchange. So we don't even have the leverage to work with healthcare programs and insurers and providers to create a healthcare exchange that will work best for Iowa. The governor failed at understanding that that's part of not only helping low-income Iowans find better health care, but the tens of thousands, I think it's like 400,000, 500,000 Iowans who have individual policies or small group policies would benefit from a healthy, engaged, vibrant exchange. And as you know, the exchange is like a Travelocity. People go on and they buy their own policy, and now that we have a national policy that everybody has to have insurance, he's not making it very easy. He didn't know how to calibrate how we could engage our insurance companies, our businesses, to really help benefit Iowans who need low-cost exchanges and policies.
Is it too late to develop that, or is there still time for the state to come back and do
that? Well, the law says the state can come back any time to do that, but the earliest we can do have an exchange is pass a bill next year that will be for 2016. And as some of you know, and I just knew this yesterday, California released their policies on their exchange, and premiums came down by over a third on the healthcare exchange. So these exchanges work, but you have to have enough insurers offering their policies on the exchange to be competitive. The governor completely dismissed that. And that's something that, you know, no one's really going to know, but that's something that you expect a governor who says we want to be the healthiest state in the nation to be able to comprehend and lead us on, and he's not. This is more of a debate on how we get average Americans and middle income Americans to have more security in health care than it is about getting health care for just the poor. And he had no idea about that. He didn't comprehend it.
So what will you do for the future of health care in the state? How will you change that? What's your focus thing?
Well, this is going to be actually pretty exciting. I mean, we're going to have health care legislation over the next 3 or 4 years. And we're going to be working with our partners in the federal government and insurers. We will clearly have to get more insurers to invest in putting their policies on the exchange. Next year, I will introduce legislation like I've done the last 2 years to create an Iowa-based exchange. That will create more consumer interest, and it will provide more applicability toward Iowa programs and Iowa needs. We will also work with corporations so that we can tie more healthy preventive medicine in all of their health care policies. We'll be working with the community health centers, the free clinics, the rural health clinics to form a better safety net so that people in rural Iowa will have the same advantage as people in Des Moines in getting to their facility and their doctor. What we talk about as politicians, everybody has the same access. Well, theoretically, everybody will have the same access. But in a state that's this big, that has a lot of rural communities, not everybody can go down to their neighborhood clinic. They have to drive. And we have to make sure that those services are available to that doctor, that provider, that nurse, that physician assistant that will be able to provide that service to that Iowan. And that's going to be the hard, non-sexy part of the next reform, where we have to have a governor that's going to be engaged in that. So we'll be making sure that the delivery of service to every Iowan is fair, equitable, and gets to them as fast as possible.
Folks, let's take one more.
What's your stance on the gas tax, whether or not you think that needs to be increased to pay for infrastructure?
The infrastructure of this state has been lagging behind for years. And there was strong support for a gas tax throughout Iowa. except that the governor didn't promote his own recommendation from his own commission. You can't get by without providing a greater infrastructure for our state. I would support a gas tax that would provide that kind of direct support for infrastructure. And we see bridges going down all over and all around us. We have to make sure that we have that infrastructure in place.
All right, thanks everyone.
Everybody, thank you. If you want to talk to Sonia or myself as off camera, that'd be great.